to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
What is up? Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote, Amber Wine Enthusiast, and Hamburger Helper.
Oh, I forgot to come up with mine. I'm Eddie Kim, Proud DCist, writer and a bartender. I'll keep it nice and simple this week. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by Queen Monarch of Sake, Jessica Jolie. She's a sake sommelier at Tokyo Record Bar up in New York City, Miss Sake USA 2016, many other titles to her, and international kikasakeshi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Thank you. Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
That's quite a resume there.
Yeah, I mean, a few years accumulated.
That's pretty awesome.
That last title, I threw that in there. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Oh, what does that title mean?
Kiki Sake Shi. Yeah. That means sake sommelier.
And that's a certification out of Japan?
So I actually have two.
Nobody likes to show off, Jessica.
I'm like, she
brought them along with her. They're framed.
Yeah.
Technically, it just means that you're a professional drinker.
Okay. Yeah.
So no. But I actually got them in New York. WSET, which is widely acclaimed within the wine world, level 3 for sake, as well as Sake School of America. So they have a program called. For sake specialists, and so I have that one too.
Oh,
along
awesome.
With the Miss Sake USA title.
Oh shit.
You had to study hard for that last one.
You know, you just have to drink as fast as you can. No, I'm just kidding. No, being a
Eddie, there's hope for you.
Oh yes, I can be Miss Sake 2018. Before we talk about a little bit more about all things sake, we're gonna do a little recap of the week of things that happened around town.
Maine Health Department. Looks like there's been some lobster weed infusions happening in Maine.
Yes. And coming from the Mid-Atlantic right now, I just went to a crab boil this weekend. And so this hits particularly close to home. There's a new trend of...
Sedating lobsters.
Smoking out your shellfish.
Hotboxing lobsters, basically, so to make it more ethical. I guess Switzerland decided to ban the boiling of live lobsters. Suggesting that animals actually feel the pain, which makes sense. And the New Zealand Institute has instituted a similar ban. So a lobster place up in Southwest Harbor in Maine has decided to hotbox lobsters before killing them, which I'm all about.
I'm all about it, too. I'm sure it's going to impart something. Let's see. Jose Andres and the team and his team have fed more than 80,000 Hurricane Florence victims as of last week, so I'm sure it's much more at this point. So,
Alexa, can we get a round of applause for our man, Jose?
Oh, we can do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Jose, always paving the way, always being the first boots on the ground for helping in disaster relief, so good on you, sir.
Also, it looks like spiked seltzers are on the rise. I think we should take credit for that with our previous episode with DC Cutlery.
DC Cutlery chose spiked seltzer. It's good.
It is good. It's not bad.
Yeah. It's just basically like a, you know,
Jessica, have you ever had spiked seltzer before?
No, I don't think so, but I think that'd be a great pairing with sake. I mean, why not? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, even the lobsters, I was just like, what sake should I have with that? Because
exactly.
Everything pairs well with sake.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that. We have interest in the pairing phenomenon.
Yeah. Why don't we actually, before the show started, we just did a quick kumpai and we're basically done with our drink already.
Yeah.
I think what
are we drinking here?
So today, which is the reason why I'm here in D.C., is we are launching a brand new product called Junsui. which is actually a private label for the DC market, from the brewery producer of Amabuki. So Amabuki is unique because they use flower yeast. I mean, that's pretty unique.
It's super cool.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, people think, oh, flower yeast, is it infused or is it additives? But honestly, it's the natural ingredient. It just gives it a little bit more of a unique texture and characteristic. And I think, honestly, it gives another story. And that's what wine people and just people in general love, a good story. And it's even better when you drink it.
Yeah, that really is. And this is just kind of out of personal interest. How is flower yeast harvested?
So specifically for Amabuki and the Junsui line, the president and the producer of the brewery, Sotaro Kinoshita-san, is actually a graduate of the Tokyo University Agricultural Department. And so they actually isolate different strains of yeast and do studies on like different kinds of flowers. And when you graduate from that program, you are entitled and allowed to use those unique strains. And so he specifically works directly with them on producing these kinds of funky, cool sakes like strawberry flower yeast.
That's amazing.
And this particular one that we're drinking, I had to look up how to spell this word, is made from yeast from rhododendrons.
Rhododendron. That's not a common flower. Rhododendron.
But it makes a beautiful sake.
It does. So the one that we're actually currently having is a Jumai Daiginjo. Again, Kimoto, made with rhododendron flower. Yeah. I mean, it comes in this super fancy box that's great for a gift. And it's beautiful, it's rich, it's creamy, there's so many layers, complex. I think a super great pairing for food, too.
Off the top of your head, what food would you pair it with?
I mean, because this is a Kimoto, which means it lets natural lactic acid develop, it's super creamy and rich, it has such a nice variety to pair with much richer dishes or even like spicy.
Sure.
Maybe even like a pork roast or like something a little bit richer and flavorful, roast beef with like some sauce or something.
Oh, man, I'm so hungry now. Is this the future? Are we going to be buying sake instead of flowers as an apology?
I like to call it liquid flowers.
Yeah, exactly.
So for Valentine's Day, don't buy a bouquet of flowers. Just get them a bottle of sake made with flowers.
There we go. That's it. Well, should we play a little game to kind of get to know our guests? I think Eddie told you to prepare for this, maybe.
I think so. I hope I'm ready. Maybe I had too much sake, so.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Yeah, that ups our chances of winning.
Extra
weird
ready.
Things coming out.
Two truths, one lie.
Two truths, one lie.
Okay.
Okay, so wait,
Jessica, you ready?
Yes, right. I'm like, I'm nervous now. I should be like, I'm on the spot. So.
Do you have a good poker face?
We've been studying micro expressions, so we're very good at this.
To be honest, I don't have a good poker face. My friends always tell me not to play poker because I just smile at everything. So I might lose, but okay. I'll try.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So do I just like talk?
Just go? Yeah. 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 List them off.
So. I was born in New York, and grew up in Japan and then came back to New York, lived a little here in California. I worked in an intimate apparel company and designed bras and underwears.
Okay.
And then I earned a Miss Sake title as well as a Kikizakeshi title. So within that three sentences, there's a lie and two truths.
Oh, wow. Wow, she weaved a story. That's the first time someone's done that.
Wow. That's a gift. And you said you're bad at this, so let's see here.
I kind of just went on.
Well, I think we know the last one is true. The last sentence is true.
Yes.
That was a giveaway.
Yes.
That was a giveaway. That's
Thank you.
A freebie.
50-50.
All right.
You were not born in New York City? Should we go with that one?
Yeah, I think that's a twist of the truth.
Okay, no. You were not born in New York City.
That's true. Well, I thought you'd figure and go with the fashion one and the intimate apparel.
Okay, so we lost again. Great.
No, you won.
Oh, we won.
You won.
Wait, no, Alexa, we need a bigger sound effect. We need something huge because, yeah, it's been maybe a month since we've won.
I mean, honestly, like, I thought you guys would be like, she didn't work in fashion. It's specifically intimate apparel. But that's it. So I moved to New York to study fashion and somehow fell into the hospitality industry.
Ah, right on.
And actually only left my day job, corporate America, to work full-time in sake last year. So new transition.
Look
I
at
mean,
you.
100%.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of balls up in the air all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that transition? That's actually
I mean, I think I felt very lucky and fortunate because I had built up so many connections within the industry for about 6 years prior to leaving. And honestly, just took the leap of faith because I was just like, you know, I wasn't really happy doing with the things that I was at my 9-to-5.
Sure.
As much as I came to New York with that big dream to work in fashion and, I don't know, be somebody like Devil Wears Prada.
Right.
If you know that movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of Eddie's top five movies.
Shut up.
But I think the best part about our industry and hospitality is that we all have each other's back and we support each other. And especially with food and drink, we bring people together. And that's ultimately how we met, too, and the reason why I'm here. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go 100% full-time in sake and started working for a company called Sake Discoveries, which gave me a chance to pursue like education and consulting.
Right on.
And I'm here now, and it's been about a year now. So still super fresh, and I think there's a long way to go. So,
well, that's amazing.
Hopefully I can come back to D.C. more often.
Yeah, we have a
huge Japanese community here in D.C. If anyone has the opportunity to visit the Japanese ambassador's residence, it's probably the most beautiful in D.C. They have a secret Japanese garden, I think, that's not open to the public.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, if you can get in, that'd be great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then last night you were over at Sushi Taro doing a tasting there.
Yeah, so Sushi Taro, I had the opportunity to go there once before, but they have an amazing sake list. They are carrying Junsui as well as Amabuki, but also the chefs there are amazing, Jiro-san. And I heard it's Michelin star, which is great.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they did get it.
Michelin star. And they have an amazing selection for sake. And, you know, like you see that more and more often outside of Japanese food culture. And I think that's where, you know, the young millennials, people are looking to drink sake aside from Japanese food, like whether it be Italian, French, contemporary cuisine, I mean, even pizza.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. one of my favorite pairings in the world, and it blew my mind, was also introduced to me here locally at Izakaya Seki. It was botarga, a small slice of botarga with a junmai sake. So I was wondering what other weird or like off-the-wall pairings have you discovered would go well?
Well, so you mentioned that I work at Tokyo Record Bar in New York, which is probably right now one of the most unique dining theater experiences.
Yeah, let's talk about that because it looks super cool.
Because it also brings the fact that, you know, pairing different things. And so that place is a very unique, awesome, awesome space. Customers get to pick their own vinyl. So they get to pick a song. Obviously, we feature mainly sake, but it's a dining theater experience.
There's, what, 18 seats?
It's, about 20, and there's one main host. And we kind of welcome you. Hey, welcome to Tokyo Record Bar. It's super fun. It's open kitchen. The music is blasting, and it's like 70s, 80s, 90s. So there's that, like, nostalgia. You know, everybody can connect. And what's great is it's people of all ages and people who mainly may not have had sake before or is interested, but we palate designate them on the menu. So like, for instance, we have a sake called Peaches and Cream and we have a sake called Rose Petals. And obviously we feature the brewery name too, but that just helps customers feel not so intimidated for sake. And we sell a lot of sake there.
Awesome.
Right, yeah.
But the best part is we we feature one important quality. And of course, we do Japanese inspired food, but we have a pizza element. So as a New Yorker, we love pizza. I mean, who doesn't finish their end of the night with a slice? I mean, you go for a dollar slice, right?
Yeah, guilty.
You cannot find dollar slice here in DC. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a lot of those. I guess we're fortunate enough that are open very, very late. So you're always finding yourself a slice. And I think, you know, people always want to have a beer or maybe even champagne, which is awesome too with pizza. But I find like a really nice, crisp and clean sake. I mean, my personal favorite right now with pizza is a Hakai-san Awa, which is the first one of the first champagne method styles of sake.
Oh, cool.
So there's a bit of acidity. It's super clean. There's crispness. Pairs amazing with cheese, I mean, which is full of umami.
Yeah.
Right? So,
totally.
Okay, so jumbo slicers out there, we've got your new pairing.
Jumbo's, okay, so jumbo slice are DC massive slices. Mm-hmm. They're $5. Sorry, nothing compared to your $1.
A little bit pricier.
With sake, okay.
Yeah.
Next concept in DC.
Yeah.
Done. We're going to steal it.
Yeah. But what if, I mean, like, not only pizza, but, like, what about, like, bolognese sauce and, like, tomato? Tomatoes full of umami. But wait, I want to, what about music and sake?
Well, that's going to be my next question.
Really?
I was going to...
I spoke too fast.
let's talk music pairings and sake.
Obviously, everybody loves a good TLC song. you know, that's always a good crowd pleaser. But this... Have you guys heard of the band Phoenix?
Yeah.
So Phoenix actually launched their own sake.
No way.
Yeah. So they have their own sake line called Phoenix. And it's also a Jumai Daiginjo. And luckily, like when I was in New York, we ran the sake booth and we got to go backstage, hang out with like Thomas Mars and the band and everything. They're amazing. They love sake.
How cool.
And one of my favorite pairings with that sake, it's you get a lot of like black cherry and raspberry notes.
Huh.
So that one, like with prosciutto and tomato, again, goes back to like the Italian bolognese sauce.
Salt and meats.
But like, don't you want to listen to some good music and eat and drink? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's a party in your mouth.
I was listening to some Tony Braxton earlier today. Yeah. Don't break my heart. I'm not singing it.
Please, Eddie. I think the world needs to hear your Tony.
It's not a karaoke bar.
not yet.
Listen, I do love the idea of actually record bars. It's actually hitting the U.S.
pretty big
now. So there's one opening up in L.A.
Oh, really?
I forget what it's called, but it's this idea of drinking and listening where it's not a party per se.
I see. Is it more of like a silent? Like those things, silent disco or something.
Let's be honest, Americans will never be silent in a bar.
That's true.
That will never happen.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It gets a little rowdy. but yeah, this whole idea of bringing things back. I think the millennials nowadays want an experience that's kind of unforgettable and Instagrammable, if that makes any sense for you guys. But again, whole this idea of CDs, tapes, records, like it's all coming back and you're like, yo, I grew up with a tape recorder and you were like ready to get the next MD and the CD player and you're like, that shit is gone, but it's back now. And
this is very exciting news for Eddie Kim, who still has all of his CDs.
she said us guys. Are we millennials?
I'm in the vinyls. I throw all my discs away.
I know I'm at the cusp of millennialism.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So actually, quick question, how did Phoenix source their sake?
So actually, that's a good story. Some of the band members that live in France, they used to frequent this shop in their building, and the gentleman, Toshiro Kuroda, was the manager there, and they became really good friends, and which is how they discovered sake in Japanese culture. And he actually passed away last year, 2017. And so they wanted to do something for him. And so they collaborated with one of the breweries that they really enjoyed, Tatenokawa. And so a part of the proceeds from that bottle actually goes to Red Cancer Awareness Research in Japan.
Right
on the label, it actually says, in memory of Toshiro Kuroda.
Ah, cool.
So I mean, I hope, I don't know if it's available in the DC market, but anybody who's listening out there, if you love Phoenix and you love this industry, like, let's get it out here.
That's cool. Eddie and I now have a new 5-year plan, which is A, start a karaoke band about Tony Braxton, maybe?
Tony Braxton.
A Tony Braxton band, and then come up with a Tony Braxton sake.
Yeah. What about like Backstreet Boys or something? Aren't they making a comeback?
I think they're always making a comeback.
Yeah, their sake would be called Frosted Tips.
Can we just the Frosted Tips?
Yep.
Right. Can we talk about what it means to be Miss Sake USA? I mean, let's talk about the contest, the prep, the aftermath, the sashes.
Oh man. So the funny thing is, I'm still reigning the title. Because there hasn't been a competition since. So
it's like, I guess it's just one and done.
Yeah, one and done, inaugural, and that's it. I mean,
that's why you're wearing the tiara right now.
I mean, of course, they should have it again. I just think they're so busy in Japan. The organization actually reigns in Japan.
Okay.
But it's basically an ambassador program. They came here to find a spokesperson. And. Okay. To be honest, the only reason I found it because it was on Facebook. And I was like, oh, well, I meet all the requirements, right? So I should apply because I have the background and the knowledge. And you go on stage and there's a few other girls and they ask you all these questions as to why you should be a great ambassador. And I was like pretty nervous. I mean, granted, even I work in this industry, but there was other girls who had no idea what sake was. I mean, to the point where they're just like, oh, well, sake is made from rice, water, and koji. And everyone's like, yay.
Oh, God.
I mean, and it was like in this club space that was definitely like trendy. There was a lot of things happening there. It was fully organized. It was happening. The crowd was cheering. It was definitely like ump and like clubbish in there.
Yeah.
But after winning, because I won,
dominated,
I had the opportunity to travel all around Japan for 3 weeks. So that was really, really an amazing experience.
Yeah.
To really go to all the different prefectures, Kyoto, Niigata, Osaka, Iwate, Fukushima. So it was really awesome and eye-opening again, and to meet the brewers, really, and to see everything firsthand, and to travel for that long and to meet people and see the craft. So since then, I started doing more like educations here and just really sharing the knowledge and the passion. That's really what it comes down to, because for me to keep it to myself, it really wouldn't be pointless. I just like I want to share it with everybody.
It's not about the drinking. It's about you being very generous.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I think it comes...
You're a giver.
It goes hand in hand. You have to drink and you have to share, right? I want to drink while I'm sharing my knowledge, as we are now.
Now, is this exclusively in the USA or is there a Miss Sake Mexico as well?
As far as I know, there is not a Miss Sake Mexico. There is a Miss Sake Japan. I think they're on their 5th year now.
Okay.
But in Japan, it's a very big thing. They actually make the winner quit their day job to pursue a full year. So it is a whole like Miss Sake pageant there. But I told them when I won, I wasn't quitting my day job, specifically my intimate apparel job, because I had to pay my rent. And as you know, rent in New York City is not cheap.
Exactly. That New York, it's a gritty life.
Paying your rent with panties and bras.
Yeah.
We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Jessica Jolie right here on Full Service Radio at the Lion Hotel.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Shift Drink. We're here with Jessica Jolie, Miss Sake USA. I guess maybe kind of to kind of jump back into things, let's talk about sake in America, kind of domestic sakes and how that scene is developing.
I think it's a really exciting time right now for American sake as the market for sake continues to grow. As much as I've seen, is specifically in New York, we have our first brewery called Brooklyn Cuda. And it's amazing space. It's in Industry City, which is an up-and-coming spot in Brooklyn, Sunset Park. And they've really set the bar pretty high. I always love to say why pizza and bagels are so good in New York. It's because of the water.
Yeah.
So I really believe that New Yorkers, I mean, that's why we love our tap water. And that's why the sake that they make is good, because the water is so, like, pure. And they're making really, really good stuff. They've been featured so many outlets. The Japanese sake breweries are super excited about them, too.
Right on.
And, I mean, it's like New York. It's the center of everything. And these two guys, Brandon and Brian, are doing amazing things, really incorporating a lot of the local restaurants and people in our industry to do pop-up events, too. And we've had a great opportunity to feature some events with them as well. So I think going forward, it'll be exciting to see what's happening. I mean, in D.C. or L.A., all throughout the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely... Do you see a stylistic difference between how the Japanese approach sake and what's happening here in America?
I mean, it's never going to be exactly the same. Just because Japanese history, you know, sake production is generations and generations. You see hundreds of years in history, proprietary yeast, old school traditional legends, and those kind of regionality distinctions as versus things in US. It's super fresh. Like they're taking modern ideas and kind of crafting it their own. So it's something very new that they're still experiencing what's right for the American consumer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very different from what people looking for with Japanese sake. Whether it be maybe adding hops to a sake or sure. infusements, or maybe it's a completely different style. So, yeah, it's definitely different.
Okay. I'm going to name drop because okay. I have an acquaintance, Byron, who owns Proper Sake Company uh-huh. in Nashville.
Okay.
And I asked him, what's one question you want to ask? And it was, why aren't there more like unfiltered, unpasteurized, undiluted sake is out in the market?
Like in the US or you mean in Japan?
I think he was talking about Japan. I think there's more of a market. He was implying that there might be more of a market here in America because we love funky, crazy,
right.
wild
Absolutely. So
stuff.
It's well, in Japan, I see that there is that trend for sure. I was in Japan late July and also early January. And there are a ton of sake bars now doing kind of that funky muroka, undiluted, unpasteurized, arabashiri, like all these terms that you're like, what does it mean? But it's super funky. And it's so many flavors. But it's hard to bring that, first of all, to the U.S. because obviously it's super fresh. It has to be maintained at a certain temperature to keep it in its raw state, right?
So
because
the shelf stability.
Yeah, the shelf, exactly. And so... And it's harder. Maybe those producers are much smaller and they don't have the budget to come over to the U.S. But I also think for the U.S., like the American markets, they're still experimenting. So maybe they are doing some namas, but they don't have the capability yet to kind of play around because it's a lot going on. Like you have to be able to take a wild play on yeast or like aging or kind of different flavors that may be hard to achieve yet. They're not at that level, maybe.
Just for a little bit of a glossary, muroka means unfiltered.
Charcoal unfiltered.
And then nama means unpasteurized.
Correct.
And then genshu means undiluted.
Yeah, so when you have all three of those things together, just imagine a clash of different flavors, right? So you have a lot of things happening, kind of a juicy explosion in your mouth, super juicy, super funky. So again, I love styles like that too, but I think it's kind of rare to find. Mm-hmm. And also again, like you don't, I mean, there's only so much that can be exported here to the right. US. So you can only take what you can get.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions in the US about sake?
That hot sake is bad for you. Hot sake is harsh. You know?
Yeah.
What
the Katy Perry song hot and cold was about sake.
Matthew wrote that joke. I'm just saying.
Also, I mean, just like sake, is it like vodka? You know, like it's just, you know, I get that all the time.
Really?
Sake is bad, you know, or they think that it's like this 30% alcohol that's intimidating, but I really just think they just need to try one. Try it once and they'll fall in love with it. But yeah, the warm sake and the hot sake. I think it's actually a trend again to drink warm sake now. So we should bring it back, but hopefully in a more educational way.
Sure. Well, I think it's also like one of those things about, you know, exploring something you don't know is that to have that pairing with it, which is kind of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Like when you have that one magical moment where you're like, have that bite of pizza with the, you know, the perfect sake or that, you know, that nice cut of meat with the perfect sake. And it kind of just, it puts it into perspective, right? It gives it framing and like makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's, again, it's making it accessible, right?
Right.
Because maybe 5-10 years ago, you would only see sake at the Japanese sushi place on the corner that maybe was called Sakura. You know what I mean? It's like growing up or seeing it in Long Island, it's there and you have your go-to house hot sake and that's what you're going for. But now, I mean, you can definitely find it at your liquor stores now. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't, I mean, they're all good in its own way, but there's more of an option now.
Should we be pushing people to get their sake certifications? Because just like a sommelier, you need people to guide you through these decisions.
I mean, obviously we want people to be more affluent in our industry, but I don't think necessarily having just that title makes you a better somm or not.
Sure.
There's tons of certifications or experiences out there that you can learn from. I mean, unless you want to, you should take it. I definitely recommend it for you.
Do sake somms have to wear a pin?
They do have it. I do have it, but I don't wear it very often. Just like, I try not to wear my sash that often anymore. Maybe I should have came in here with
I will say I was a little disappointed when there was no sash.
There's no sash.
Well, now you're three year reigning.
Yes.
Sake, USA.
I hope it's a good thing. I mean, it feels good to have it, I guess, and be a spokesperson. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to use it to your advantage to spread the awareness.
Of course.
I think that's what it comes down to, and to share it, because obviously I'm here with you guys, which are awesome, and hopefully the people out there listening in to like, oh my gosh, I need to go buy some sake and pizza right now.
All right, let's work our way through. Is there a breakfast sake that you'd recommend?
Breakfast sake,
or just to get you over that hangover, the hair of the dog.
Oh,
sake.
Gosh. There's tons of that.
I'll tell you, there is a notable chef here in the district who I will not name, who used to come to my bar and get one cups, two or three of them, because he knew he was going to be hangover the next morning.
Yeah. To be honest, I think this is something new that my boss is actually the creator of it, but she actually blends sake with mugicha, tea. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great because when you're just hungover, you want something super refreshing. So you just blend sake with some tea and it just wakes you right up because you get that refreshing finish. And you're just like, wow, I even want some more right now. So it's a great breakfast drink.
That's amazing. It's the Irish coffee of
exactly.
Japanese
tea and sake, right?
Japanese tea,
the Bloody Mary of sake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, Bloody Marys are great too, but you just, you know, being Asian, you just want your tea.
Yeah.
Tea and sake at breakfast.
You'll learn, Matthew. You are having an event later tonight at Daikaya from 5 to 8.
Yes,
featuring
some
of these sakes. So we are going to jump into our next segment, which is
Rapid Fire.
Ooh.
Rapid fire. Yeah, that's why we didn't tell you.
Thanks for our robot friend.
We're going to go through a number of questions very quickly off the top of your head.
Just like first thing that comes to mind, tip of the tongue.
All right.
What would you name your boat if you had one?
Eileen.
Okay.
The last food you microwaved.
Udon.
What are two historical figures you'd put in your proverbial hot tub?
Oh, man. Shoot. Can I pass?
You can pass.
Okay.
That seems...
What is your spirit animal?
A rabbit. Energizer rabbit.
Matthew, actually, I'm going to say Matthew has a very intimate connection with rabbits. Right?
Yeah.
They just keep going and going. So that's kind of my philosophy. They just keep going. Don't stop.
Name a movie or a TV show you refuse to watch out of spite.
Friends.
And who are you spiting?
Just everybody talks about that show, and I've never really watched it.
You've never seen it?
No. And it's based in New York. It just seems like such a classic show. But
I love it.
To be honest, I'm not even really a TV person.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What was the worst injury that you incurred while working at the restaurant?
I've definitely slipped and like fallen over and dropped a bunch of glasses before, but I didn't hurt a customer, but I did hurt myself. So that was a big bruise. That was quite painful.
What was your first job?
My first job was working at a reception at a housing office on a military base, which was quite not in a, it wasn't very interesting at all, but I was like 16, I think.
So it goes housing, lingerie.
Yeah.
Or intimate apparel and then sake.
Yeah. Yes, intimate apparel into the sake world. Very, very different industries.
All right. My last question. You're on your deathbed. What's your last meal?
Ramen.
Yeah, what style?
Miso ramen. Oof. With corn and pork and butter.
Oh, man.
From where? Is there...
Hokkaido.
Hokkaido? Oh, wow. Okay, that's...
It has to be the, like... I love this. And it has to be the squiggly yellow noodles.
Nice.
Yes.
I feel Eddie Kim is just beaming over here.
Well, I get to that point. It's a sake.
Honestly, it's the best kind of soul food. And
it really is.
And my future dream one day is just to take a month off and travel from like Okinawa all the way to Hokkaido and do a full-on ramen tour. Oh. And of course, drink as many cup sakes as possible, but try the different ramens. And my theory behind this is to start from Okinawa because... By then, I'll be skinny, and it'll be warm. So by the time I get all the way to Hokkaido, I'll be fat from all the carbs and bloated from all the salt. So by then, I'll be comfortable because it'll be colder up there.
You've got it all figured out.
Yes. That is my next step.
Have you seen ramen heads?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so over the top, but it's so good.
Oh, man. All right. We have one last game. This one's called Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Fuck, marry, kill. Ooh.
I wrote three. Which one should I use?
Let's do NYC.
Okay. I don't live in New York City, so I'm assuming these are my favorite drunk foods to have in New York City. So this is Fuck, Marry, Kill, New York City drunk food that pairs up with sake edition. Pierogies from Veselka.
Oh, amazing. Totally been there, done that.
Your $1 utility pizza slice.
Absolutely.
Or a papaya dog.
Oh, I see.
So pairing up with sake.
So do I get to suggest one?
Please.
For a late night, my new favorite, and my friends are probably going to laugh because I've been like on this addiction, is for Kati roll. Kati roll is like... It's like an Indian cuisine, so you can pick chicken or lamb like wrapped in a roll, but it has like the sauce, the yogurt sauce on it. But it's like the best late night food. And you're just hungry. You just pick up a roll, or even like lamb shawarma or something. Just like from like the vendors on the street, and it's like.
All right. Well, then the new game is fuck, marry, kill, or ghost.
A ghost.
Not, yeah. So okay. You got to marry, fuck, kill, or ghost. All of these. So the pierogi.
Okay.
You gotta.
The utility slice, the papaya dog, and the.
I have to pick one.
Yeah.
Well, you choose one for each category. So which one would you marry?
I would marry the kati roll, obviously, because that's my favorite.
Obviously.
And the pierogi, I would fuck. Honestly, it's that good. I've definitely been there. And the kill, I'm sorry, would be the hot dog.
I saw that coming. Okay, that's
I'm
fine.
Just, no.
And Jumbo Slice is a ghost.
Yeah.
Or not Jumbo Slice.
The utility pizza. Yeah. So you would go out a couple times and then not call it back.
Yeah. It'd just be like a one-night stand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this week. It's been awesome having you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, like the Spotify. And find us on all the social medias as at ShiftDrinkDC. Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us 1 star on Yelp.
Damn it, you always end up with me. Okay. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux for intro music and DJ Rec Tech for the hilarious sound effects. Just to remind people, there is that special event tonight at Daikaya from 5 to 8. Jessica will be there. We're also actually joined by the president of
Amabuki Brewery, yes. Sotaro Kinoshita, and Chizuko Nikawa from Sake Discoveries. She's a sake samurai.
Sake samurai.
Yes, we saw that. Yeah. they will be there in attendance. Just come have a good time, drink some great sake.
And, absolutely. Come join us.
Yes. And next week, Bill Murray joins us to teach us about the art of carving pumpkins.
Really?
Yours isn't updated.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it.
What's the pun?
That was it.
That was it? Okay. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.